Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 345, Covenant-Keeping God. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, November 19th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So we're starting today, and the next few weeks we'll be doing a series called Family Coming In. Hallelujah! You guys are quiet. Come on, get excited. Family coming in. That's your family coming in. That's my family coming in. Yes, hallelujah. Blow the shofar. The families are coming in. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. So today, the message is entitled, The Covenant-Keeping God. And so, you know, the Bible is a covenant book. It's a covenantal book that reveals a covenantal God. And when we look, take a deeper look at Scripture, like we're going to do today, we get an understanding that God not only has covenant with us, but that includes our families. And that is awesome. And it's a promise that we can take to the bank, that we can rest in, and that we can know, like Krista said, really trust him, like for real trust him, that he's got our families because we're in covenant with him and he is watching over our families. So just like Katia prayed and was standing for her family to be safe and protected, look how God came through, because she's in covenant with the Lord. And I don't know if her other family members, the son or her husband or the other people, we don't know if they're saved, whether they are or whether they're not. She's in covenant with the Lord, and he brought his hedge of supernatural protection. I mean, they were right up at the door, right? And didn't see the door didn't come in. Hallelujah. That is the supernatural protection because of covenant. So we're going to explore this today, talking about our families and how amazing, how faithful God is because of this covenant. There's so much to understand, and probably we're just going to scratch the surface about really what covenant means. But we all have some unsaved family members, right? That anyone out there have some unsaved family members that you're believing for, that you're praying for, that you're concerned about? When we get a revelation of what it means that we are in covenant with God and how he is looking out for our families and protecting and over them, we can rest. It's going to change everything when we understand that he is with us, he is for us, and we will be able to really walk out truly trusting God. Amen. So let's dive in today. Are you ready? Okay, praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about what is covenant. What is covenant? Let's start there, right? There's a picture. We'll get it in a minute here. About God's covenants. So a biblical covenant, like what the Bible talks about and how it defines covenant, it's an agreement generally between God and man. The stipulations command total loyalty. So when God cuts covenant, like we're going to talk about Abraham, he requires total loyalty to that, as stated in the first commandment, Exodus 20, right? Verse 3, it says, "You must not have any other God but me." So when you're in covenant with God, that demands your total loyalty to God, and God is bringing that his total loyalty back to you, promising that to you. There it is. I just threw some visuals in here today. So throughout the message, if there's any people like me that are visual, this is to help you and so that nobody falls asleep. And it's just to, give a further backdrop of what we're talking about. So covenant, the word in Hebrew is berith, and it means a treaty, an alliance, an agreement between two parties. You see two hands shaking there, like God and Abraham, right? Shaking. That's an agreement between those two. It also means, that word means faithfulness. So, you know, those of you that are married, when you got married, husband and wife, you say, "I do," and you enter into, my husband's cheering for himself back there. Yes, he pointed to himself. I wish you could see sometimes what he's doing back there, but it's okay. I'm not going to get distracted by his gestures. He's making me smile. Praise the Lord. So husband and wife say, I do, and they enter into a pledge, right? An agreement together, covenant. They're expected to be faithful to one another. Heck yes. He's nodding. Okay. We first see this word berith used in God's covenant with Noah. In Genesis 6, when God is telling Noah the plan, right? He's unfolding this for Noah, and he says, you know, what he's going to do, that he's going to bring the floodwaters over the earth to destroy all the living creatures. So he gives them the instructions, bring the animals in, all the species, two by two, you know, bring them in, and they will be saved. So let's look at Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 18. Because there's covenant in here. It even says in the NLT, it uses that word covenant. So God says to Noah, he says, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. So covenant, God's saying, I'm going to cut covenant with you, Noah. But guess what? Who else gets to go into the boat? The family, his wife, the sons, their wives, the children, the whole family gets to go in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right, Nita. Hallelujah. Let that sink in, right? Because Noah wasn't alone on the ark. You're not alone with Jesus in the ark. Your family is cared for by God, of Lord of Lords, King of Kings, right? Prince of Peace. Their lives, his wife, the sons, the in-laws, you know, the children, the daughter and sons-in-laws, they were also spared. They were saved, right? So then we know, you know, we know what happened, right? The floodwaters came, 40 days, all this. Noah sent out the dove to test, is it time? You know, the dove came back to him. Okay, a little more time passed, and then let's speed up to Genesis 9, starting at verse 8. Genesis 9, I'm going to read right out of the Bible. This is NIV here, which I don't, we've got the NLT up there, but you can follow along. So Genesis 9, 8 through 17. It says, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, and you can put up that picture, actually, well, in a second, if you want, after the scripture. I now establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. There's the picture. Praise the Lord. I hope every time you see a rainbow, you remember that. It's a sign. It's a visual. Right? It's a visual so that we can see God has covenant with me, and that includes all, it says, all generations to come. Praise the Lord. His care, his love, his concern for our families is there, and this is the sign for it, so for us to remember his faithfulness to us and to our families. God cannot break covenant. He is committed to his promises. He is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie, the Bible says, right? When covenant is made, the person enacting the covenant would swear by someone higher than himself, so that if the covenant was ever broken, the person would be judged and held accountable to the person higher than him. When God first established his covenant with man, he could swear by no one higher, so he swore by who? Himself, right? He was the highest, so he swore by himself. So Hebrews 6, verse 13 and 14 tell us this. It says, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. God is the highest. There's no one greater than him, right? So that means we can absolutely trust his word and rely on the covenant that he has with us. And count on that protection that he has for our families. He will remain faithful to his word. Hallelujah. I love that about God. Praise the Lord. So in back in the day, we'll say it that way. Back in the day, the two participants of a covenant, when people would cut covenant together, they are called the covenant heads. And the covenant remains in effect until both of the covenant heads have died. If a covenant head dies, the other will extend the benefits and the blessings of that covenant, that pact or agreement, to the family of the deceased covenant head. Does that make sense? So a blood covenant not only joins the two covenant heads, but also it joins the families together. They're included. They're protected. They're in that insurance plan, so to speak. They're in the coverage plan. So another aspect of covenant is there would be a ceremony. And in that ceremony, the two covenant heads, they'd become friends at the conclusion of this ceremony. So friend is a covenant term which loses something in the English translation, but it's the translation would be like covenant friend, or like some people say from back in the day, like a blood brother. Right? It implied the union of two people in a blood covenant, a sacred friendship resulting in one's pledge of loyalty and complete trust to the other one. So to betray that covenant would bring penalty of death, as my husband says. So covenant friends pledge to protect each other and who? The families, right? That's what we're talking about. So the enemies of your friend become your enemies. The enemies of your covenant partner become your enemies, and vice versa. So you stand together. It's like linking your shields together. God enters into covenant with us, men and women. What a humbling and sober truth that is. Do you think, like, it's not, we're like, God enters into us? Like, that means he trusts us to uphold our end of the deal? He's like, he's God and I'm just me, you know? Wow. Covenant is a binding agreement, and the God of the universe willingly enters into covenant with me despite my humanity, despite my weakness, despite my, you know, imperfections. But he trusts me to stay in covenant with him. Wow. You know, when there's, you know, that like your parent or a teacher or somebody has an expect, like it feels like a high expectation for you, that sometimes that you can, you like walk a little higher, stand up a little straighter, hold your head up, because they believe in me. Like, they believe that I can do it. That's how God is with you in covenant. He believes in you. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He knows that, you know, we're not, but he just wants all your heart. He wants all of your heart, that you don't give your trust or your devotion to any other. He just wants you to keep turning to him, keep trusting him. God's purposes are always done through covenant. God's covenant with Abraham was for the purpose of bringing salvation and blessing to the nations. That's what he used, right? To bless Israel, to bless not just Israel, but then the nations. God's covenant with Israel was also for this purpose, to bring the Messiah into the world. Hallelujah, we have Jesus, right? And that came out of that purpose of God of bringing the Messiah to us, came out of his covenant with Abraham, right? And we're the seed. We're the seed that gets to receive from that today. Praise the Lord. So God's covenant with you to bring salvation and blessing to the generations in your family is through you. It's through you, like we read. What a position, what a privilege. It's a weighty thing. And we really need revelation of this. Wow, wow. So let's take a closer look at God's covenant with Abram. At that time, he was called Abram. Let's go to Genesis 15. And this is when God promises to give Abram a son, even him, despite the fact that Abram was already in the upper years. He took him outside, right? And again, a visual. God likes visuals. Thank you, Lord. He knew there was people like me that I'm, you know, a visual learner. So he gave the rainbow as a sign of his covenant to all generations. And he took Abram outside and he showed him the multitude of stars in the sky, right? You know the story. And he said, look at the stars. That represents how numerous your descendants will be. So let's go actually to the word Genesis 15, verse 6. And you can put up the picture because it has the scripture on it as well. It says, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Praise the Lord. The stars in the sky represented. Yep, there it is. It says, he took them outside and said, look at the sky and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. Praise the Lord. That was part of the covenant, the starting of the covenant. So, and then it says, right after that, right in verse 6, it says, Abram believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. We can take a lesson here from Abraham, right? Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at, you know, he could have just laughed at God or said, I'm really old. You know, how is this going to happen? Don't look at the circumstances. If God speaks something to your heart, again, like Krista said, trust him, really trust him. Stay trusting him. Trust what he says. Ask for a sign if you need a sign. Ask for a visual. Show me, God. Give me a dream of that. Give me a picture of that. Create a picture. Paint a picture on the inside of me, in my heart, that I can hang on to of your promise, of your covenant with me. Years ago, God gave me, and this was when I was a brand new sort of baby believer, God gave me a dream. And I didn't even know what a prophetic dream was, but I had one, and years later, I still carry this dream in my heart because it represents covenant that my family is coming in because of the relationship that I have, because of the covenant that God has cut with me. praise the Lord. And so if you don't have that, get that. Ask God for that. Cry out for that. Fast and pray for that. Get a visual. Ask God to show you what that promise looks like for you. And then you hold on to that with everything that you are, right? And you look at that and not the circumstances. Praise the Lord. So Abram asks then, you know, how he can know that he'll take possession of the land, because God says that to him right in this interaction here, that he'll take possession of the land. That's verse 7. And then God instructs Abram to sacrifice the animals, right? And he tells them, he predicts or tells him that, you know, the future generations are going to be in captivity. Then God makes covenant with Abram in verse 18. So let's look at Genesis 15, verse 18. I'm kind of summarizing some of the parts in between, just for the sake of time. So verse 18, it says, "So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, 'I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River.'" Praise God. Praise God. He was giving him that, and he cut covenant to show him, "I will be faithful, and your descendants that are as numerous as the stars in the sky, they will increase and inhabit this land, and they will take possession of it." So when God speaks, we say, amen, and we believe him, right? I'm preaching to myself today. Hallelujah. All right, and so then you know the story, right? There was a little detour there. We can learn from that too. Detour in Genesis 16, I like to call it the Ishmael detour. Wow, help us, Lord, not to get impatient and take things into our own hands. Oh, God, help us. We could just bust into prayer to... cry out to the Lord to help us with our impatience, to lay down our control, to lay down our right to understand how it looks and want to grip it so tight and control. He's God. He's God, Sarah. He's God, church. And he knows how to work it out. He knows how to do it in your family, in your life, in the generations to come. So don't get impatient and take back the driver's seat and say, "No, we're going this way," right? Like Abraham did by sending Sarah and or sending the servant, just all the mess that happened there. So God's love and mercy goes beyond my track record. Abraham was given a promise, right? But he messed up. Do we ever mess up? A few times, right? We need God's mercy. His mercy and his grace goes beyond our failures even. When Abraham agreed to Sarah's impatient plan there of, you know, taking matters into her own hands. God wants to accomplish his purpose through you and through our lives, and he'll do it. Even despite our mess ups, despite our failures, despite our weaknesses, as long as we get back on track. When you mess up and you recognize that you mess up, repent and turn. Repent and turn back to God. Get back on track and follow God. Don't keep beating yourself up and don't let the devil beat you up. Condemnation is not from God, right? For now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you mess up, get back on track and keep walking with God and ask him to strengthen you. All right, so now, you know, here advance some years, and now Abraham is 99, right? And he followed God's instructions about circumcision, and also, you know, God tells him about that Sarah will be the mother of nations and that they should name their son Isaac, right? And God says that he will establish a covenant also with Isaac. So here's the moral of the story here. It's never too late for the promises of God. For me to receive a new promise and for me to receive the manifestation of it, it's never too late. It's not too late for you and your family. We need to take the limits off. We limit ourselves and by our small thinking, right? Expect to receive your Isaac. If God said your descendants are going to be like he told Abram, as numerous as the stars in the sky, then expect to receive the fulfillment of that promise, which we represent by saying Isaac. Receive your Isaac, right? That's your promise. Expect that he will take care of you and every promise that he has made. If you are following him and listening to his voice, he will make happen in your life, right? He will take care of your family. Praise the Lord. So, you know, you can see this ribbon of covenant all through the scriptures, all through the Old Testament. So I just chose, and this could be a study for, we could preach for several months on, you know, covenant and all the examples of it in scriptures, but I just chose a few. So let's talk about Jacob for a moment. God makes a promise to Jacob, right, in a dream. This is in Genesis 28, verse 13 to 15, right? Jacob falls into sleep and has a dream. And it says, Genesis 28, verse 13, it says, at the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, who God had already made a covenant with, right? And the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are laying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Wow, Jacob was blessed, even though he was fighting and struggling with God, right? Praise the Lord. So God not only made covenant, cut covenant with Abraham and then with Isaac, and then he did it again with Jacob, right? And he said, I will be with you. I will protect you. Take that for yourself. I will be with you, God says to you, and I will protect you. I'll be with you wherever you go. And one day I'll bring you back to the territory, the promised land that I, you know, and it might not be, it's not necessarily a physical land, but the promise that he's given you. It's land is, could be like a metaphor for that, right? I will not leave you. God is with you, church. He will not leave you until he's, it says, until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. So let's receive his promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the story continues with the people Israel and God with his covenant over them. Exodus 2, let's look at this. And there's a picture that I believe, does it have the scripture on it, I believe, of this picture with, it's Exodus 2, verses 23 to 25. So, nope. That's at the end. It's okay. It's picture number 4. Let's read the scripture. Exodus 2, 23 to 25. Years passed, and the king of Egypt died. But the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. The people of Israel had fallen into slavery, just like God had told Abraham was going to happen, right? They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. Did you hear that? They were in slavery. They cried out to God, and God heard them. He heard their cry. God heard their groaning, verse 24, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. Another version says, and he was concerned for them. God remembers his covenant. He remembered his covenant. And when he saw the descendants of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, crying out, when he heard their cries, when they were in slavery, he heard them. He rose to act. He rose to rescue them, right? Let that sink in. And we could read that and put in the place of Abraham, like put your own name. And in the place of Israelites, read like your family. So for example, you could say, we'll use me as an example. So years passed and the king of Egypt died, but Sarah's family continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promise to Sarah, to me, not Sarah of the Bible, me, right? Or you put your own name there. Your family was in slavery, but God heard your cry, or heard their cries, because of the covenant promise he made with you, because you are in covenant with him. Amen? Are you understanding? Yes. Okay. It's a good place to say hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. So God's blessing, that means God's blessing can start with me. It starts with you when you cut and make covenant, enter into a relationship with the living God. And it includes our families. He wants to bless our families. He, through us, we're the channel that opens the door. We are the fire starters. Yes. So when my family members are in slavery and they're, you know, in bondage because of sin. We know the wages of sin is death, right? When they're in their slavery, they don't yet know God, maybe. They're struggling, barely surviving. Guess what? They cry out and God is there. God is there. He hears their cry because he has covenant with me. Hallelujah. He doesn't forget about your family members, and he doesn't forget about mine. He isn't just a small God who just stops with us. His mercy and his grace, it extends to the generations after me and the generations and the generations. We are influencers. We are changers. You know, we can affect change because of our relationship with God. Sometimes it just seems like, oh, it's just me and God, and we're just doing our own thing. God sees it much greater than that. He sees the generations that follow me and the generations after that and the generations after that. So what you do in following God, when you're reading the word, when you hear God speak something to you, it matters. When you hear God, it matters when you obey him or when you don't obey him. It matters too, because it's not just you. There's people after you. There's your children, your children's children, your children's children, children. That's hard to say. You get my point. It's not just us, me, myself, and I, and God. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. No, it's like there's much beyond, right? And there's people that came before us. There's a cloud of witnesses cheering us on in our walk with God because of the generations that are yet to even come. How cool is that? There's like the past behind me of the saints that have gone before me that are saying, yes, go, go. That's in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 6, I think. 12, thank you. The cloud of witnesses, thank you. And they're cheering us on, saying, run the race, keep going, because there's generations after that. But so what you do with God, it matters. Your covenant with God matters. Your relationship with him matters. And he cares about your family, even when they're not recognizing him as Lord. Even when they haven't called out to him and made him Lord and Savior of their lives yet. Deliverance to the family of Abraham came because of his covenant, because Abraham said, well, I'll do it. I'll trust you, God. I'll keep seeing the stars and keep reminding myself of the promises. I'll go. right? And God did. He brought them out of slavery, Abraham's descendants. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, speed up the story. Then who came on the scene? Jesus! Jesus came on the scene, right? Because of Jesus, we have been spiritually grafted in to the lineage of Abraham, and we can claim every covenantal promise in here, in the Bible, for our families. We're not left out. We're a part of it. We're a part of what he started with Abraham. We're the descendants. Hey, I'm a little star shining in the sky, and so are you, from those numerous stars in the sky, from that promise, that day that he took him out and showed him. That's you, that's me, shining in a crooked and perverse generation. Hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy here. Praise God. So Jesus came through. Jesus came so that through him, you and your seed, your family, and the generations to come would have access to the blessings of Abraham. God will also respond to your prayers. He hears your prayers for your family. And because he has covenant with you, he will honor those prayers. Don't doubt. Here's some scripture proof. If you need more scripture proof, here's a few. Deuteronomy 4. What are we proving? We're proving that because God has covenant with you, your family will be blessed, and that the Lord remembers the covenant he has with you. So Deuteronomy 4, and there's so many scriptures. I tried to just cut it down. So I just selected this one. Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. Amen. Amen. He will not abandon you. That means you are not alone. You are not alone, Julie. You're not alone in it. God is with you and for you, and he will not abandon you, and he will not abandon or forget your family because of the covenant that he has with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now there's a picture, the fifth picture with a family is in the background, and the scripture that we're going to look at is Isaiah 59, verse 29. It says, and this is my covenant, there it is, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. That's a long time, folks. I, the Lord, have spoken. Don't you just love it when God says that in scripture? I, the Lord, have spoken. That's like .com, sealed, no other questions about it. It's done. I, the Lord, have spoken. No question about it. The covenant that he has with them, says the Lord. My spirit is upon you. My words will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children. Hallelujah. Teach them in the way they should go. It also says in Deuteronomy 6, I believe, right? Teach them the word. Let them meditate on it day and night. Teach it to them. Write it on the tablets of their heart, on the door frames, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, I just want to say this. I just want to bring clarity to just make sure I'm not just... make sure that everyone understands. God's protection and his care extends to my family because of his covenant with me, and he will work on their behalf. But as far as salvation, each family member will have to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of their lives. So we're talking about God's protection, his covering over my family. But that doesn't mean that my child is just going to slide into heaven because of my salvation. My child will need to, there will come a day when they will need to make the decision to make Jesus Lord of their life. Okay. That, is that clear? Because sometimes, you know, I've heard people say things like, well, they're just, they're covered. They're in, they're saved because of me. Well, no, you know, every tongue that, you know, you've got to confess Jesus as Lord, and everyone who does that will be saved. Yes. And yes, God has covenant with me. So his care and his protection are over my family. But then that family member to be saved and experience the amazing life with Jesus and eternal life in heaven, they need to make Jesus Lord of their life. They need to confess him as Lord and believe in their heart, right? That God will raise Jesus from the dead. And then the verse says, and they will be saved. Hallelujah. Okay, just wanted to clarify, nobody slides in. There's no free pass. Right? But yes, we can be a blessing. Yes, we are of influence. Yes, your family members are watching you. It's like, there's eyes on you. They watch how you live. They watch the decisions you make. They watch what you do. And God is also watching over them, right? And every word that goes forth, it says in Isaiah 55, the word never returns empty or void. So the word that you speak over your family, the prayers that you lift to God, they will not return empty or void. Amen. I'm getting ahead in my notes, but amen. That's right. Cheerleader back there is rounding you all up to cheer amen together. Yes. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. It produces much fruit in the kingdom, in the spiritual realm. So don't stop praying and don't stop believing and don't stop declaring the word, because that is powerful from your mouth over your family members, so that they will not only just be protected and have that covering because of the covenant that God has with you, they will choose to make Jesus Lord. They will bow their knee. Can you imagine? Picture right now your family member bowing their knee like, I'm bowed down. Every tongue will confess. Every child will confess and bow their knee to the name of Jesus. They will decide. They will make that decision. And you, with the word, with faith in your heart, can make that come into existence like Abraham. Call the things that be not as though they are. There's a miracle in your mouth waiting to happen, right? I'm encouraging myself. Keep praying, keep declaring, no matter what it looks like, right? Don't give up. Your faith is powerful. Your faith is powerful. So you and me, covenant believers, that's who we are, right? Because we're in covenant with God. We can open the doors of salvation to our family and our family members by walking with God, in obedience and in faith. That's what we're talking about, right? And you can intercede. That's also what we're talking about. Intercede means to put yourself in between you and God, to place yourself in the gap, in the middle, and intercede for your loved one, for your family member. You can intercede for that person on their behalf and expect God to heal and deliver, to fill them up with their presence, to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and that they will be loving and serving God, and they will be here with you in church. Hallelujah, right? God hears the prayers of the righteous, like we said. James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer. We're stepping it up this year. And next year, 24, in prayer. We have effective, fervent prayer. Of the righteous. That's you, that's me. It avails much. It produces fruit. All right. Conclusion. Let me take a sip. Pause. Hallelujah. I hope you're encouraged today. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about some practical things, about cooperating with God in the work that he wants to do in our family members. So, stand strong and confident in the covenant that you have with God, or that God has with you, that it covers your family. It was the covenant that Abraham, that God had with Abraham, that transformed him from a doubting Abraham into the very father of faith, right? Your children will be next. You can be transformed from doubt into faith for your family coming in. You don't have to strive or try to believe the promises of God, but understanding the significance of covenant will just make it click that you, then you will be full of faith like Abraham. Praise the Lord. It says, Romans 4, verse 20 says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. The longer that the time went on, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced. Let that be a description for us in believing for our family members. Fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. So being strong in faith and being fully convinced or fully persuaded that what God has promised, that he was also able to perform. That's us. And we have a much better covenant than Abraham had, because we're in the new covenant now, where Jesus is on the scene, right? So rest assured that he has them. He has your family member. I want to share a few things, a few prophetic things that God gave me when I was preparing for this message. And then Santos, my husband, is going to come up and join me. And together we want to pray for families, specifically before we do just a general prayer or altar call for prayer. So praying for this message and for this day, the Lord... I heard this really strong, like, I have covenant with you. I haven't forgotten your family, your spouse, your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, your child, your grandchild, if there's not aunt, uncle, cousin, you know, any of whatever title of the family member, whatever role, put that in there. I have covenant with you, and I haven't forgotten them. I, the Lord, have spoken, right? He like really wants us to get this. And then I saw this picture of pioneers. And when Santos comes back, we'll have him put up the picture. But as believers, as the covenant keepers with God, you and me, we're on the front lines. That's what I saw, like on the front lines for our family. Be bold in faith. God wants, the Spirit of God wants to just encourage you to be bold in faith, unwavering in your obedience to God. And he showed me a picture of pioneers, like Little House on the Prairie style, you know, like in a covered wagon. There's the picture. Yep. That looks, yeah, Laura Ingalls, right? On the, yeah. So, look, they're not even on a road. They're not even a path. There's not even like a dirt path. It's all brush and weeds and stuff. And I can imagine that traveling through that when there's not a path is tough, right? It's challenging. And maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like, you know, there's not even a path. Nobody's gone before me. I'm pioneering. Like, no, there's no other... There's nothing for me to see. Like, I'm the first, and I'm just stepping out here like this, and there's not even a path. I don't even know where to step for my family, spiritually speaking, we're talking about, right? And God just wants to encourage you today. He sees you, and you're not alone, because he's leading you in this covered wagon. He's blazing the path. And as you trust and as you step out and as you press in and you hear his voice, he's going to tell you where to place your foot, and you're going to place your foot, and the path is just going to open up before you. He makes the crooked path straight, and he's going to blaze a trail. That's what pioneers do, right? That they're the first that go and settle in a place that's not even established yet to make a, you know, a town, a colony, right? And they're They're the first ones to get to this land. And that may be you in your family. You might be the first one. You're pioneering. Don't give up. He wants to just encourage you and strengthen you. And he says, keep going. Yes. You know, because pioneers, it may be challenging, but guess what? They have a lot of adventure, don't they? And I'm sure they have good stories to tell of all of their adventures. Remember the time that, you know, whatever. I won't make stuff up about a cow running in the path and whatever. But what they leave behind in the trail that opens up, it's all worth it. The adventure, the unknown, the mystery, the scary part of it, it's all worth it because there's a path that open as you walk and as you step, there's a path behind you that opens up that others can walk in, that others can follow you. Hallelujah. You lead the way because you know Jesus, and the power of the living God is on the inside of you to help you, to strengthen you. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the dunamis power on the inside of you. And as you step, you know what dunamis is? It comes from the word dynamite. Dynamite behind you, blowing up the, you know, blowing up stuff so that it opens and blazes a trail and others can follow so that they know where to walk, because where it's not anything, it's not, oh, look at me, I'm blazing a trail, I'm the pioneer, you know. No, it's Jesus. Jesus is leading you. Praise the Lord. It is hot up here. Okay, so this was another word. This is another scripture that God gave me. Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. And I think this was first for me, but I'm not going to be selfish, so I'm going to share it with you guys. But I really think that God was saying this to me, like, call to me. We're talking about prayer and we're talking about turning the volume up on our prayer lives. That means pray, call to me, and I will hear you and I will answer for your family. Get the prayer strategy, get the breakthrough in the spirit realm. Pray it through. That's what he's saying to me. Call, like really call to me, not just one time. Oh God, my family is suffering. Oh, and this and that, and naming all the woes and sorrow. Call to me and I will answer. Answer you. Call and pray in faith. Pray in faith. Pray in the spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray through groans and utterances, and he will show you great and hidden things that you don't know about your family. You're going to begin to have dreams and visions. Like when I didn't even know what a prophetic dream was years ago, I had it because it was God breathed, and he knew that I would need that. He knew that I would need that for the pioneering journey to go through, because it's a bumpy road. It's a bumpy road sometimes when you're pioneering and you feel alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. The power of God is with you. So call to him and he will answer you, the word says. He will tell you great and hidden things that you don't know, that you don't see with your eyes. You only see your family members' slavery and their sin and they're going off the track. Call out to God and he'll tell you awesome things. He'll show you the picture of what your loved one looks like, saved and set free and healed, serving Jesus. He'll show you the picture of them sitting next to you in church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we want to pray. We want to pray for families today. We want to, if you identify that with that, also we want to pray for you, like you feel like you're a pioneer and it's a bumpy road here and, you know, there's no trail yet. And well, I understand. He understands. Okay. We understand because we're pioneers in our families. We're both, I used to say, I'm the only. I remember being in the mission field in Argentina, and I would meet people in churches and, you know, maybe share about my family or whatever and say, well, I'm the only Christian. And some, lady of faith one time corrected me and said, no, you're the first. And then ever since then, I said, no, yeah, I'm the first. I say I'm the first, and that's you too. If you feel alone, like, well, that you're the only Christian, well, you're just the first one. You're pioneering. And don't be discouraged by the bumpy road. Look to Jesus. Call to him. He will tell you great and hidden things that you do not know. So let's just pray for our live stream friends right now. We just thank you, Father, for our friends listening on social media. We ask your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. And we lift them and their families up to you. We pray blessings for this holiday season, for Thanksgiving that's coming up this week. Father, we pray your presence in homes, your presence at the Thanksgiving table, at family gatherings, at friend gatherings, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that you make our friends, the believers in Jesus, you make them salt and light. I thank you that you will use them to boldly open their mouth and they will speak when you give them an opportunity. Open the door for them, Father. Let it be led by you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We pray blessings over them in Jesus' name. And we lift up their tired arms, Father, of any people listening on social media, if they identify with this word of pioneers, if they are the first in their family, we just send strength and encouragement from the Holy Ghost to them now in the name of Jesus, that you infuse life into them, that you give them a hunger to pray and to call out to you for their family members, that you show them, Father, you show what the promise looks like. You give them a visual of the manifestation of your promise because they are in covenant with you. I pray your richest blessings on them now in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.